We started off by saying this a few times, and I want to say it a few more times this evening. Everybody say, God's not done with me yet. Say it one more time. God's not done with me yet. Come on, say it one time and say it as an encouragement to yourself, because we know our flaws. We know how messed up and jacked up our lives can be. But I'm so encouraged to know that even though sometimes I would give up on myself, God says, Richard, I'm not done with you. Come on, say it as an encouragement to yourself. God is not done with me yet. That's right. He's not done with you yet. And he who began a good work in you, guess what the Bible says? He will be faithful to complete it. That's Philippians chapter 1, I believe, verse 6. The Bible says, know this, that the one who started the work in you. How many of you remember the day that you sensed God's love for the first time? And Jesus started to do something totally cool and much different than what you were used to in your life. God started a work in you. He started to draw you to himself. He started to reveal himself to you. He started to release love and goodness and kindness into your life. And that love and that kindness and that goodness, it did something to us. It caused us to realize, wait a minute, even though I've not loved myself, and even though maybe nobody else has ever loved me or said anything nice about me, for the first time I'm recognizing and realizing God does, and that love begins to change us, and God starts a work in our lives. That's why many of us have decided we're not going to drink and do drugs and do all those silly things. But guess what? God's plan is more than just getting you sober. God started a work in your life, and sobriety or whatever it was that you were struggling with is just the start. God's got something, so I'm getting excited right now. I'm telling you, because I know it's true. God has something so much more for every person's life in this room. Yes, he's going to sober you up, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to bring you into a better place. But God's going to fill you with his power, glory to God. God's going to use you. Yes, Charlie would say, call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you have not even known of, glory to God. God wants to do that in our lives. It is exciting to know that even though right now we may not be walking in the fullness of who Christ is, it's exciting and it's encouraging and it's exhilarating to know that right now we may not be experiencing everything that we know we should or could. What we have to remind ourselves is, God's not done with me yet. And just because I'm not seeing it in my life today does not mean that tomorrow may not be the first day that I start to see it. Or right now, this evening, could be the beginning of your biggest breakthrough in your life in forever. I can't even talk in English. I'm going to have to pull a grandma and just start preaching in tongues. I'm so excited to share this with you guys. God is not done yet. Man, a lot of people would say God's done with America. A lot of people would say, God has forsaken America. God has forsaken the American church. I want you to know, God's not done yet. Oh, God's not done yet. Oh, glory to God. I'm so thankful that I know that I'm under construction. You know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I'd come to this church, and as I pulled in the parking lot, I'd think, my gosh, what are those guys doing out there? They ain't doing nothing. They got our whole street tore up and nobody's even out there working. And then one day I came into the parking lot and I seen concrete going down. And I remembered, wait a minute, they're not done yet. See, God is at work, guys. And sometimes it doesn't look like anything is happening, but there's a lot of work taking place that we don't even see. It's going on behind the scenes. It's prayers that are being lifted up. It's people's lives that are being connected. It's that quiet time that you're spending with God and reaching out to God and drawing near to God and hiding his word in your heart and meditating upon the scripture and changing your mind and attitude. Nobody notices those things, but God notices. notices those things. And there's some weeks and months that it doesn't seem like anything is changing, but know this, God is not done with you yet. It may not look like your condition, like your situation is changing, but guess what? God, He is not done with you yet. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We're all under construction. We can get so discouraged with our progress. We can say to ourselves, man, this just isn't working for me. Don't do that, friend. Look up here at me. I'm not just trying to give you a pep talk. I'm trying to tell you a simple truth. God is at work in you. You may not see the results. You may not even feel Him at work. But know this, He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God said we'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Guess what? God is not done yet. We're going to see some sick people get raised up. God said you will lay hands on people and cast out demons. Guess what? God's not done with us yet. We're going to get some people set free. God said that there would be greater outpourings of His Spirit, that the latter rain would be greater than the former rain. Guess what? God's not done with us yet. And I know my grandmother has had some great days with the whole Holy Ghost in years past, but guess what? The latter will be better than the former, and God's not done with this yet. And so the greatest moves of God are the moves of God that are being experienced now and tomorrow and the next week, and we got to be encouraged in that. We look at the world, we look at the news, we listen to the Supreme Court and all these other avenues of information out there. It would convince us that God is done, but I want you to know it's at the darkest hour of the night that God performs His greatest miracles. It was in the darkest hour of the night that God released Paul and Silas from a prison cell at midnight, the darkest hour of the night that God caused chains to fall off of His people. So many times in Scripture we see that God moved in a powerful way in the dark of the night. Friend, we're under construction and God's not done with any of us yet. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I sense in my spirit God's getting ready to do some good things. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Paul says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Now, last week, we began to talk about what he's really saying here. There was a time when people looked at Jesus merely from a human perspective. His own family member, they looked at Jesus as just part of their family. Jesus was saying, look, I come from the Father. I do nothing that I don't hear my Father tell me to do. I and the Father, we are one. And his family said, Jesus, quit talking like that. You're just like us. And you're saying things that's causing people to think you're a lunatic. They were looking at Jesus merely from a human perspective. The religious people of the day, they said to Jesus, who is this guy? Isn't he Mary's son? Isn't Joseph his father? Don't we know his brothers and sisters? They were looking at Jesus merely from a human perspective. Many times the disciples even looked at Jesus from a human perspective. But remember what happened when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. Things started to change when people started to look at Jesus from a heavenly perspective. And I'll tell you, after he raised from the dead, everybody had to change their stance on Jesus. He wasn't just a mere man. He wasn't just a good moral teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He was exactly who he said he was. The Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth to bring salvation and redemption to humanity. God's own Son in the flesh. That's who Jesus is. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. And just as people no longer look at Jesus from a human perspective, we cannot look at ourselves in merely human understanding anymore, because you are not just a human being anymore. You are not even subject to the laws that govern humanity anymore. What does that mean, Pastor? It means the things that used to govern my life, I've been set free from. I am not really that concerned with what the doctor has to say to me, because my life is dictated by a different set of rules. My life is governed by a higher law. My life is liberated by the one who came to set me free and bring me into something better. I'm not going to look at things from a human point of view anymore. We no longer regard no one from a worldly point of view. See, you're more than a sinner saved by grace. You're more than somebody who used to be a drug addict and an out. You're more than your past. You're more than your present. You're even more than you think your future is. You really are something totally different. New creation. The old is gone. Not just your old sin. Not just your old man, but everything about who you once were is history. And God has replaced it with something so much better. He said, get rid of that life. Looky here. Get rid of, I got a smartphone for you. Throw that old thing away. I got something. How many of you know smartphones are better than corded phones that plug into the wall? All you old people say, no, smartphones are of the devil. Not mine. Mine's sanctified. Smartphones are better than a phone that plugs into the wall. See, God got something to exchange for to us for something that we shouldn't want anyway. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you better give her her phone back. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that poor young lady right there, we're going to have to pray. She about fell over. She lost her phone. She felt life exit her body when Facebook just left her side. Facebook left her side. She said, oh my gosh, pray for me. I'm having chest pains. Picking on you. Oh, I love you anyway. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not do so any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Everybody say, I'm a new creation. And it's not just about being forgiven from sin. It's not just about what God took away from you. That's what we preach in churches, what God has removed from us. But it's time for people to start realizing what God has put into us. Oh, man, I'm telling you, somebody should write a book on that statement right there. Somebody should write that down and write a book. It's not just about what God has taken from us, our sin. It's about what God has put in us, his righteousness, his power, his spirit, his ability, his knowledge, his wisdom, his heart. It's what God has put inside of us. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though Christ were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We've talked about these things right now, this notion that we no longer look at ourselves from a merely human perspective. We have to understand lots of what has been taught in churches are accurate. It's good for us to know that we are forgiven. It's good for us to know that we were a sinner and God saved us by his grace. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the final chapter in the book. There is so much more that God has done in our lives and desires to do through our lives. We are more than natural beings even. We are not human any longer. Everybody say this out loud. I'm a child of God. What does that mean, that you are a child of God? It means that there's a part of God in you. Right? If you were to take my children, and if you were to take samples of who they really are, their DNA, and put it under a microscope, you could prove that they were mine. It can be proven. See, we have to understand, just like my life is in them, God's life is in us. We are children of God. Man, that is powerful. We're more than these things. These things are all true. We are the righteousness of God. Everybody say that out loud. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I am called with a purpose. Everybody say, I'm going somewhere. Everybody say, I'm filled with precious cargo. Everybody say, I'm sealed with the Spirit of God. Say this one because I want to start seeing it in your life. Say, I'm a supernatural being. Supernatural things come from me. Come on, say that. Say, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. We know these things are true. Now, here is the part that the enemy uses to rob us of seeing these things come to fruition in our life. All of these statements are true, and they're true right now. Those are not things that are going to happen in your life in the future. Those are things that happened in your life the moment you believed. The moment you called upon Jesus and received Him as your Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God. Well, Pastor, I still sin from time to time. Your righteousness has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Jesus, who was made to be sin so that through Him we might be made the righteousness of God. Well, Pastor, I still blow it from time to time and I still walk away from God. That doesn't matter. You're still a supernatural being. And grace still flows freely. Mercy is still extended. See, when we make mistakes, when we fall short, when we experience the struggle of our flesh and the temptations of life, immediately what starts to happen is all of these things start to come to question within us. I'll tell you what, I've come to this realization. It's Satan's attempt to keep us from operating in these things. You know why? You start operating in the supernatural. You start walking kingdom-minded. You start walking in the power of who you really are. The devil gets black eyes every day. He gets his butt kicked. People get set free. Things change. See, we're still going to struggle with our flesh. We still have an unrenewed mind. We still have all kinds of issues and habits and attitudes. We are still tempted, aren't we? How many of you still waver from time to time? Yes. It happens to all of us. We still miss the mark, and we still have weaknesses. But what we all need to remember, even more than those seven things right there, is say it out loud, God's not done with me yet. You may waver, but guess what? God's not done with you yet. You may be struggling with your flesh right now, but guess what? God's not done with you yet. And if you rest in Him, if you keep trusting in Him, I can guarantee you your money back. If this does not happen, you will find victory. You will overcome. When we talk about being under construction, we left off here last week. I want to jump back in. I did that introduction that we got. We didn't get through the introduction last week. We just got so wound up, we couldn't get through the introduction. Almost had that happen again tonight, but I really want to start talking to you about the nuts and bolts of what it means to be under construction. We need to really begin to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit desires to do in us. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is sent to do a work in our life? And that is a constant work. Unlike other things, the work of the Holy Spirit is not a singular work. It's not a work that occurs once and then never again. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our lives, perfecting us, liberating us, bringing us into a greater knowledge of truth, opening our eyes to see things from a different perspective, causing us to see more of who Jesus really is so that we can walk in that. And we need to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I'm going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And I love these verses, and we need to start practicing this because it's really time for the church to be the church. It's time for people in this ministry to begin to experience the greater work of God in your life, and you can. Hear me. Doesn't matter what your education level is. Doesn't matter what your income is right now or what it's not right now. There's a greater work that God wants to do in your life, and nothing can stop that from happening but you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, listen to what he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is what fails to take place in the lives of, I would say, the majority of Christians. They come to church. They experience God in a very real way. And they walk away and think that's the only thing that needs to happen. But there's this whole process. that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our life, where he brings us into a place where we start to see things differently. We start to realize, wait a minute, I understand Pastor Richard's been yelling at me for 3 months that I'm not just a human anymore. But as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and as we grow and yield to him and follow his leading, he starts to show us those things. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you. Man, I cannot tell you how thankful I am to know that that is true. I know that God is at work in me. In spite of me, God is at work in me. Oh, hallelujah. In spite of my ignorance, in spite of my proneness to wander, in spite of my wavering, in spite of my unbelief, in spite of my flesh, God is at work in me. And God, who never fails, and God, who never lets me down or disappoints me, glory to God, the one at work in me is him. And guess what? He will bring to pass everything in my life that is his good will and purpose. If you believe that, say amen. Glory to God. It's God who is at work in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Man, God's got a good plan and a purpose for your life. And if you'll just get out of his way, God will bring it to pass. I'm going to say that again. That was good. If you will just get out of God's way, shut your mouth from time to time and let God do his work, guess what? That will get done. Glory to God. We are new creations in Christ. We have new abilities. Everybody say, yes, I do. We have new life. Everybody say, amen. We have new resources. Everybody say, hallelujah. We have new power. Come on, somebody shout. We have direct access to God. We have a new teacher, and we have a new father. All of these things are true. All of those things that I just told you and many more are true. They are available to each and every one of us. They are free. They are for everybody. They are life-changing. When you begin to experience these things, you begin to realize how real God is. It changes your life forever. It's God's plan for all of us. Those things are, and it's really part of kingdom living, but many people never find those things that we just talked about. Many people never find these new abilities. Many people reason away what they don't understand. Many people choose to compromise for less. Most stop short before they ever begin to walk in those new abilities, before they ever begin to live in that new calling. Most just stop short and are satisfied that at least they're not selling themselves for meth on the streets anymore. Some people just don't even care. They're saved and they think that's enough. Well, Pastor, I'm going to heaven, so why don't you just get off my back? No, I'm not going to get off your back, because Jesus, my Savior, died for you, and he died for more than you just getting into heaven. He expects you to finish the work that he started. What's that mean? You're supposed to take his life and give it away. You're supposed to take his power and extend it to others. That's why God's Son did what God's Son did for us. Most will compromise for less. How many of you are tired of compromising for less? Oh. See, part of being under construction is discovering our new identity. See, it's time for you and I to discover our new being. All of these things that we're talking about, they are in us right now. It's time for you and I to start connecting with this new spirit that lives inside of us. You know, I can't imagine. I'll tell you a quick story. When my wife and I were young in the Lord, my wife's a lot like you, Dan. Very analytic about things, analyzes things. And I can remember we were getting ready to go to a conference. One of my favorite preachers at that time, we were getting ready to go to a conference. And we sat down together and we said, you know what? We should both right now. We fasted. We did all kinds of stuff leading into that conference. I mean, we used to be really radical. We did. I mean, there was a time when we were much more desperate for God than what we are now. I'm trying to get back to that place of desperation. God did great things in our life. He still does, but I know there's greater things He could do. We sat down together and we said, you know what? We should each, right now, we should write down one thing that we're going to believe God to do in our lives at this conference. We didn't tell each other what we were believing for, but I snuck in my wife's Bible and read what she was believing for. Hey, she was believing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we went. She wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit so desperately. And we went to this conference, and she went down, and she got prayed for. Man, she came back. She was so radically different. I can remember she said, she come out, and my wife, always a pretty happy lady. And I'll tell you why she's happy, because she's got the spirit of joy inside of her. She come walking out of that back prayer room. This is a huge conference, several thousand people there. My wife was radiating. She came down, sat on the front. I knew exactly what happened as soon as she sat down. Oh, man. Connecting with that spirit inside of us. Glory to God. It's time to start discovering that new being. It's time to start connecting with this spirit inside of us. We came home from that conference. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues. We came home from that conference. Several weeks go by, maybe even months. I'm not quite for sure on the details. It's been, you know, probably 10 or 12 years ago. She had a nightmare. She woke up from her nightmare terrified. She was really perturbed, disturbed by this nightmare. She said, Richard, I had this crazy dream. And in my dream, we had a baby. And for some reason, I could not take care. I could not nurture the baby. The baby was just crying and crying and crying and screaming and screaming and screaming. And I couldn't get the baby to stop screaming. And this doesn't happen all the time when somebody has a dream. But immediately God gave me the interpretation to that dream. Immediately, on the spot. I said, you've not been praying in the Spirit. God gave you a precious gift. Just like God gives us precious gifts when He gives us children. But He expects us to nurture and steward the gifts that He gives us. And when we neglect them, when we put them on the shelf, it is like a baby crying for attention. I'm not comparing the Holy Spirit to a baby. I'm giving you a picture that you'll understand. That's what God gave us, a picture that would make sense to us. And my wife said, you're right. I've not prayed in the Spirit once since that conference. The things that we don't tell people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit at the altars. That now every day you need to withdraw to a secret place and pray in the Spirit. Why? Because you develop in the Spirit. You're building yourself up in the most holy faith. See, that is God at work in me. A willing and according to His purposes. God's preparing us. God's doing stuff we don't really even understand, but it's a faith thing, and I'm telling you, I've experienced it. It's time for each of us to meet the Holy Spirit, to hear from God, to be changed into His likeness, to tap into His power and to release His power. Listen to what Paul says. I really want to focus on this as we continue for a little while here this evening. Paul talks about this in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. He says these words. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. And I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childhood behind me. Everybody say, God's not done with me yet. And see, what we all have to understand is that it's time for us, and I'm not talking about immaturity. I'm talking about childlike things. I'm talking about things that are never going to aid us or help us in our call of God. Everybody say, it's time to put childhood behind. It's time to move into manhood. How many of you know there's a difference between childhood and manhood? And guess what? There's privileges with manhood that you don't experience in childhood. For instance, you don't get to drive when you're six. I can remember with my son Richard, my boys are exactly 2 years apart, and so my middle son Wyatt, he's always felt like Richard gets more than him in life. And I can remember when Richard turned 16 and we got him a car, Wyatt's like, that's not fair. You got him a car. I said, son, you're 14. There's nothing I can do about it. You're 2 years younger than him. Richard's going to drive before you. He's going to graduate before you. He'll probably get married before you. There's nothing I can do about it, and it doesn't mean I love him more. But when we become men, we put childhood behind. There's better things that God wants to do in our life, but in order for that to happen, we got to be willing to become men. Everybody say, I want to be a man. See, it's time for you and I to put childhood behind us. What does that mean? Let's just walk away from unbelief altogether. Let's just make it our purpose and decision tonight that we are going to walk away from unbelief. That's childhood. Doubting God no more. Everybody say that. I'm not going to doubt God no more. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I won't, I don't know that I can say that I won't doubt God. Sure you can. You can say it right now. You can say, I'm not going to doubt God anymore. You say it. Well, I just don't know if I'll be telling the truth. You will be telling the truth if you don't doubt God no more. Say, I'm not going to doubt Him. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I just don't think God can do that. When I was a child, I thought like a child. That's just not possible. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. Gossiped, backbit. Paul said, but when I became a man, I put childhood behind me. Hallelujah. It's time for us to walk away from the limitations that we have put on God. How many of you know there is nothing that God can't do? What would happen if all of us said, I'm not going to limit God in my life no more? I'm not going to limit God. It's time to walk away from limitations. It's time to walk away from doing things the world's way. It's time to walk away from our understanding of things. It's time to walk away from old habits. It's time to walk away from sin, glory to God. Well, Pastor, I can't. Yes, you can. You've got Christ in you. You can walk away from everything that's holding you back. Tonight, you can do it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Another great verse, another verse that you should memorize. The Bible says, for we are God's handiwork. We have been recreated. Everybody say recreated. What's the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5, 17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 2, 10 says it this way, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, this new life that we've been given. It's created in Christ Jesus to do great mighty works. Not just good deeds, not just feeding hungry children, not just clothing orphans and taking care of widows. Those are things that we've been created in Christ to do too. That's why we support our local soup kitchen. And by the way, if you need something to do during the daytime, go see Gary or Sherry. If you got a little extra money burning a hole in your pocket, they'll show you somewhere you can put it. Take care of hungry people. Those are good works that we should do. But guess what? There's even better works than that. Healing the sick. Breaking chains in people's lives, right? Showing people the better way. Showing people the higher way. Showing people the life of Christ in us. The Bible says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Everybody look up here at me. God has prepared great works for all of us to do. Miracles. Look at me. Listen, Butch, I know you sometimes look at yourself and you think that you have limitations. I want you to know something. Christ has works prepared for you to do. Mighty works. And everybody else in mighty miracles. I'm not talking about helping somebody by cutting their grass, because you do that a lot. And God's got good works like that, because we're supposed to help each other. But each and every one of us need to understand, it's God's will and good pleasure that we would be His hands and feet, glory to God. That we would be carriers of His divine life and His power. And that we would be like a piece of conduit. The light switch comes on, the power flows and energizes and changes and turns lights on and causes people to be touched and causes people to be changed. That's what our life is prepared to be in Christ Jesus, glory to God. That's what God desires for all of us, not just some of us, not just those in the fivefold ministry. No, that's all changed. Now in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are all one, and we are in the same Christ, and the same Christ is in us. The same ability that Christ offers is in all of us. The same gifts that come with Christ are inside of all of us. We are his hands and feet, glory to God. We are agents of change. We are called salt and light in the earth. God's good plan and God's purpose is for us to be miracle workers. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, Pastor, how come we're not seeing it? We're under construction. We're under construction, guys. This is God's will. Read the words. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What is the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do? The same good works that Jesus sent the disciples out to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, open the eyes of the blind. Freely you have received what I'm giving you now. Now freely go and give it away. That's the work of the kingdom. Glory to God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. And lo, I am with you always till the very ends of the age, and I will confirm my word preached with signs and wonders. Glory to God. So that all the naysayers have to chew on their doubtful words. I'm going to talk to you about some steps to take to become a man. Because that's what we want to do. We want to put childhood behind us and become a man. I'm talking spiritually. Look up here at me. Don't get confused. We're talking spiritual men. How do we move on to adulthood? It's time for us to realize our flaws. And then what we need to do is we need to turn our flaws over to God. Stop trying to manage them. I'm going to say that again. Stop trying to manage your flaws, your weaknesses. Give them to God. He's the only one that can change them. The more you meddle in your own business, the more messed up your business gets. How many of you know that to be true? But when you give God your flaws, when you realize them. You know, it's the steps in the 12-step program that nobody ever does. Step 6, 7, 8, 9. Recognize our character defects, humbly ask God to remove them, make a list of all persons we have harmed, go make amends to them. It's all those things that nobody really likes to do because it requires humility. But we need to do those things. Recognize and realize our flaws. Turn them over to God. God, here I am, the good, the bad, the ugly. But I also understand I'm under construction. And I understand that it's you who is at work in me, not me who's at work in me. I'm telling you, you don't want you to be at work in you. That's what brought us to our knees in the first place, us trying to fix the road construction. Huh? When the road's tore up, friends, you ain't got the skills to fix it. Turn it over to God. When we try to do construction, all we do is destruction. God is the maker. God and his handiwork is the one that builds it all up. Next thing we begin to do is we make right the wrongs that we have created. We have created wrongs in our own lives, in other people's lives. And after we recognize our flaws, we turn them over to God, then we need to start the process of humility. We need to openly say if we've been in unbelief. I was in unbelief, and I'm not going to be in unbelief no more. If we've offended people, we need to go and make amends with them. We need to tell them, I'm sorry. I need to make right the wrongs. Can you make right every wrong? No, but you can try. There's some things that people aren't going to be, you know, you go talk to certain people, they're in their flesh, but you've done your part. Next thing you do, and this is so important, is you grow. You grow in your knowledge of God by praying and by having communion with the Holy Spirit. What's communion with the Holy Spirit? It's quiet time with the Holy Spirit. It's community with the Holy Spirit. It's just like if you and I were going to fellowship together, if we were going to hang out, that's the term you hang out with the Holy Spirit. You have some private time with him. You know, instead of calling up one of your friends, say, hey, let's get together and hang out tonight. What would happen if you blocked off a Friday night and said, Holy Spirit, me and you, we're going to hang out together. We're going to hang. It's Friday night. What if you dressed up like you were going to go to the club, but to hang out with the Holy Ghost? Woo! Dressed up, closed the blinds so that none of the neighbors could see. Oh, yeah, y'all know what you know how to do that. Close the blinds so the neighbors won't see. Turn up, instead of AC/DC, turn up Hillsong. Oh, man. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Pray. Let Him and yourself become familiar with each other. Put away childish things because it's time to become a man. I love this story. I'm going to read it to you real quickly in closing. And it really shows somebody moving through and becoming a man. Story you'll understand. Jesus entered Jericho, and as he was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and very wealthy. Now, you take those two things, and what you begin to realize is he probably ripped a lot of people off. He was a tax collector. His job was to collect taxes, but he could do it however he wanted. All he had to do was make sure that the Caesar got his. But he could take anything. He could take as much as he wanted of your stuff, and he did, and became very wealthy. He was despised by people. I mean, he was kind of the scum of the earth. And he was a Jew. He was ripping off his own people. I mean, there was no honor among thieves back then either. The story goes on. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. We see this connection beginning to take place. Jesus and this sinner named Zacchaeus. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus, listen, this is it right here. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Man, that's powerful. This is what it is to become a man. Realizing, admitting it, committing it then to God, making it right. Listen to what Jesus says to him as a result of this. This is powerful. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. Why? Because there was somebody who didn't just call on Jesus, but recognized his flaws, turned them over to God, and then made right the wrongs he had created. Glory to God. Today, salvation has come to this man's house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Listen, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Not who was lost, what was lost. Oh, man. Jesus is trying to save some things in us. They're going to be lost if we don't really get our heads right. I mean, we are living in a very perverse generation. They're going to get lost in your life, perhaps, unless you get serious. Stand up on your feet if you would. Man, everybody say, I'm under construction. Everybody say, God's not done with me yet. How do we overcome? How do we get free? How do we experience this transformation? How do we put childhood behind us? We first recognize our flaws. We commit them to God. We make right the wrongs we have created. And then, after we've done those things, we start to grow. We start to connect with God regularly. We start to pray. Why? Prayer is talking to God. God wants you to talk to Him. When you talk to God, God will talk to you and He'll hear you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?